open them once again to Matthew chapter number 5. Matthew chapter number 5. I got to fix this. I'm sorry. I don't know what happened. I think Brother Petra got carried away and knocked it around there. So, oh well. Matthew chapter number 5. We've been going through the Beatitudes here these last couple of weeks, and today is a continuation as it regards to the Beatitudes or the blessings that the Lord has for those who are obedient in certain areas. We've looked at a blessing. Oh, I better get in the right text real quick. Hold on a second. Here we go. All right, so we looked at a blessing for those who are poor in spirit. We looked at a blessing for those that mourn. We looked at a blessing for those who are meek. Well, today as we continue on the side of the mountain where Jesus is preaching His sermon to those many disciples that followed Him at that time, we're going to be looking at the next one, and that's found in verse number 6. Jesus says this, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Dear God, I thank You, Lord, for this beautiful day. And God, I thank You for all that You've blessed us with. Lord, I even thank You for the challenges of life that You bring our way. For God, they keep us on our knees. They keep us humble before Your throne. And God, I pray that as we are here today to worship You, Lord, as we're here today to learn from You, those things which You have for us, God, I pray Your Spirit will move freely within the midst. Lord, I pray that if there is one in here who knows not You as Savior, Lord, today they will accept Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. How can one abound in grace? And how can one abound in the knowledge of the Lord if they are divided? How can one even grow in the Lord if they have an appetite for the things of this world? As we progress through this study of the Beatitudes, the Lord is challenging us in regards to even a more focused type of attribute. There's a promise to each of these Beatitudes for which many of us would state gratitude for achieving that prize. However, we ought not to celebrate in achievements, for that would be pride. But we ought to allow the Lord to be praised for those things He has achieved through us. When we go out to eat, there's a lot of questions that we'll typically ask. But one of those questions that is always asked is, where would you like to eat? Where would you like to eat? Man, I'm getting all these things on Facebook about Cracker Barrel. I'm not so sure about the Cracker Barrel anymore, y'all, all right? Y'all want that Southern gravy, you can go make it at home, okay? But anyway, there's a lot of questions, you know, about what are you going to eat? Well, you came to church today. Praise the Lord, you came to church today. That says something about you. That you are hungering, that you are thirsting, at least I hope this is what it's saying, to be filled with the Lord. I mean, we can argue later on after service where you're going to go eat today. But we know where we are to eat right now. Amen? So where is it that you want to be filled today? There's two different options you have as we play the parallel back and forth here, regarding our appetites, regarding those things that we put into our bodies, regarding how hungry is it are you, as well, when is it time to start eating and when is it time to stop eating? All right, we're going to be playing a little game of parallels today regarding this blessing, regarding for righteousness' sake, okay? So the first question must be asked, what is your appetite? I didn't ask how hungry are you. I'm pretty sure some of your bellies are already starting to talk to you. You know, mine already started to rumble a little, even during Sunday school, okay? But we can set that fleshly appetite aside for a little bit there regarding food. But I want to ask, what is your appetite? What is it that you're craving? Man, having a house with eight of us, it's sometimes difficult to fix a meal where everybody will be happy with what they're eating. We've never had a meal that was all sushi, okay? That just would never work in our house. No way. All right. We typically, you know, have certain types of meals. But what is your appetite? Is your appetite for the things of this world, or is your appetite after those things of the Lord? It is a valid question to ask, because today I believe one of the greatest identity crises that the Christian is facing is their identity with Christ. I identify as a child of the Lord. Therefore, others will likewise see that I identify as a child of the Lord. So much confusion out there today. There's so many Christians that are having an appetite after the things of this world. I mean, after all, the pleasures of sin, they are good for a while, right? But it's only for a season. And then we find the Bible says that there's something that comes after sin, which has been enjoyed for a season. After we enjoy that sin for a season, we find there's a time. Well, if it is a sin that continues to abound in our lives, it is one which will lead to death. I talk to people off and on about different addictions or different things that they're facing in their life. I don't ever have to point out their addiction. I've noticed that whenever I talk to somebody about the Lord, or whenever I ask somebody how they're doing and they have an abounding addiction in their life, I never have to ask them, are you an alcoholic? I don't. They always open up and tell me. The person who is, you know, having an issue in regards to, you know, drugs and those kind of things, I've never had to tell them, you've got a problem with this. I've never had to reveal their problem. They already know the problem. Isn't that amazing? You know, I've never really had anybody open up to me about their addiction to pornography. It seems like that's one of those addictions that is completely, you know, covered and hid and no, how dare anybody ever know. But it is an addiction as well. It's labeled today as an addiction. But if we look at the Bible for what it says, the Bible makes it clear for what it is. It is sin. It is something that people will choose to eat. They have an appetite and they need to feed that appetite. And as they continue to feed that appetite, I find this when it comes to the world, you are never satisfied. You'll always go back for more. And you always have that guilt, though. You always have that resentment. But yet, it's just like, I have to go back. I know that God will understand. I'll just ask for forgiveness again, and I'll go on my way. And I know I'll eventually go back to it. They've already confessed they have a problem. But another thing they've confessed is this. They've already confessed defeat. See, when it comes to the pleasures of sin that last for a season, we find that there is resentment within the heart of the individual for the bad choices that they have made. They might try to label it and say, well, it's because of my abusive, my childhood situation that I grew up in. It was an abusive situation. You know, my father was an alcoholic, or my mama, you know, she ran away from us. And so that's why I am what I am today. That might work in court, my friend, but that does not work before the throne of God. Oh, so many appetites today. And I only picked on a few. But there is many types of appetites today. They come in many shapes, many sizes. The devil has a great buffet spread out for the souls of man. But on the other side of that buffet is the cleaver of death. You may be full externally. You might have feasted so much on this world that you have attained great riches. You have come to a place of prominence. Glory is spread about your name. Ah, the pleasures of the world have done so good for you. But your soul, my friend, is bankrupt. Destitute. And if we're honest, looking for a way out. Paul tells Timothy in 1 Timothy 5, verse 6, but she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. The things of this world, it's a realistic buffet. It's there. We all know that it's there because I dare say all of us at one time in our walk had an appetite for something of this world for which we needed to repent and turn from our wicked way. I'm so thankful that God is righteous. He is able to forgive and to cleanse us. Jesus says, though, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. What is your appetite today? We have the things of the world over here, or we have the things of the Lord spread out over here. Ah, that table that the Lord has for us. Proverbs 11 verses 4 through 6 says, riches profit not in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivereth from death. The righteousness of the perfect shall direct his way, but the wicked shall fall by his own wickedness. The righteousness of the upright shall deliver them, but transgressors shall be taken in their own naughtiness. I am so thankful the Bible gives us this promise that with every temptation there is a way of escape. I cling to that promise. Those who have an appetite for those things which are righteous, my friend, they will be satisfied. The thing I find about learning more regarding the Lord, learning more about His will, seeing how He works in my life and the life of others, makes me want to eat even more the manna that God has provided. You ever gone to a restaurant, ever ate a great meal, and at the end of the meal you still feel hungry? Isn't that a horrible place to be? I don't think it's ever happened to me. I go to a good restaurant. Oh, there's a steakhouse down in Florida. It's called Manny's Chop House. All right, I don't know if any of all of you ever heard of this place. But if you're ever down in Florida, okay, you got to seek out this place called Manny's Chop House. It's almost like you go to Alabama, you got to go to this redneck restaurant called Lambert's, okay? But there are certain restaurants out there that when you eat, I mean, Manny's Chop House, man, they give you a good old steak. When Catherine turned 16, I think it was, I said, I'm going to take you out for your 16th birthday. And we drove all the way from Orlando out of town to this next town, Podunk Town, rolled into it. We got out, we ate at Manny's Chop House. She got herself a porterhouse steak. I'm talking, you're over 20 ounces of any type of steak right there, just slap dab on the middle of your plate. Man, she had to take a lot of that home with her, you know? She was full after a little while. You know, I couldn't finish. It was just, even my meal, it was just too much. And at the end, they asked that silly question. Did you save room for dessert? Why don't you ask that question first? I'll get my pie first. You can bring that out as the appetizer. Yes. Because I can always get a to-go bag, you know, for the main course. They want to make more money. They got to flip their things around sometimes, you know? Oh, well. But you know, it's just how it goes. What is it that you're hungry for? When we feast of the manna of God's Word, my friend, it has been provided for you. It has been given for you. Many, many saints have died preserving this, to keep this for us, to teach us this, to make sure that we know more about this. Many have sacrificed along the way tremendously. The Lord gave up His own life so that we could have this Word and so that we could know Christ as our Lord and Savior. I mean, this Word is so precious. It's the best book you could ever have. Right there. I don't think we're always just looking for an appetizer. Sometimes I wonder, are we just looking for an entree? Because we're really hungry today. Lord, feed me a lot. Or we're just saying, Lord, skip the conviction and give me the dessert. A lot of Christians today, they want to skip and they just want the dessert. God says, if you're hungering and thirsting, not after carnality, if you're hungering and thirsting, not after the will of the Lord, if you're hungering and thirsting, Jesus says, for righteousness' sake, after righteousness, it's very clear, they shall be filled. What is your appetite? Man, you all getting hungry now, aren't you? Well, that's a good question, because it leads me to my next point, man. You all are following right along. Amen. That next point that I have for you today is this, is how hungry are you? How hungry are you? I mean, if I was to ask on a scale of 1 to 10 right now, if we were going on a carnal side of things, you know, and thinking about a restaurant that we're going to go to after this, or digging into our crock pot when we get home, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10, how hungry are you? You're probably saying, well, I'm an 8 right now, Pastor. You need to hurry this up. All right. That's why they call it KISS. You know, keep it simple, stupid, right? All right, but no, that's not where we are. How about your appetite, 1 to 10? How hungry are you regarding the things of the Word? Are you just complacently satisfied where you are right now in life, and you don't want to grow anymore for the Lord? Yeah, I mean, that's a realistic question to ask, because so many of us fall into that stigma where we're just not really that hungry anymore, Lord. I don't know of too many people that have ever entered into a buffet already full. Man, if you go to a good buffet, what are you going to do? You're going to be fasting for 40 days and 40 nights before you get there, right? I want to get my money's worth. Especially Golden Corral, man. They rack that price up through the roof, and they still give you the same nasty, fatty steak. I don't get it. Oh, well. How hungry are you? Is your stomach empty right now? Or is it full? The world would have the believer to continue feasting at that buffet of pleasure, of conformity, a non-transparent style of living, which so many carnal Christians possess today. The prodigal son, he knew of his father's love. The prodigal son knew that things were that he was provided for when he was at home. But yet he still chose to leave his father's home, to step outside of the father's will, and to become a glutton on the pleasures of this world. The Bible says he finally came to his senses, but it took him losing everything that he had taken with him. Do you remember when the prodigal son repented? Do you remember when he finally came to his senses? The Bible makes it, Jesus tells us this, that it occurred when he was wallowing with the pigs. When he was eating with the pigs was when he finally came to his senses. Even the servants at my father's house live better than this. I'll return to my father's house and I will beg to even just to be a servant. Back in that day, the pigs were considered as an unclean meat. They were considered something that should not be in the land. To have one, to possess one, to even eat of one, even today, would be considered a heinous crime. Bacon is part of the pig diet, all right, just letting y'all know. Back then, it was a defiled meat. It was an unclean meat. And yet, here is this prodigal son wallowing with the very thing that the scrolls say is unclean. He was so hungry to feast on that buffet of the world, he thought for sure that there was so much for this world to offer. In his pride, he paid a great price. He lost everything. But at least he came home. So many today are looking and trying to, and they're so hungry after the things of this world. They look around them and they see the successes of so many people in their neighborhood that are, man, you know they don't go to church on Sunday because you see them mowing their lawn every Sunday on your way to church. I mean, you know they're not, and you know they're not living for the Lord, but you look at them, man, they're doing great. I mean, they're doing something right. What's going on? How come I could wake up every Sunday morning, you know, before? I mean, I could sleep in on Sundays. How come I get up on Sundays? How come I get myself dressed? How come I go to church? How come I even give a portion of what I make every week, you know? How come I do all of this, but yet I still seem to have nothing? Christian. The problem is this. It's your heart. You've got your eyes on the wrong thing. You've got your eyes in the wrong place. Just as pride lifted up Lucifer, oh, how quickly he was cast to the earth. It destroys. What if you had the opportunity to feast on the Word of Life? And you came to church today. Praise the Lord. But what are you going to do tomorrow? Pastor, I got to go to work. Pastor, I'm in retirement, so I'm just going to, you know, just go about my honey-do list and the chores, you know, that I have to do. And I've got more doctor's appointments than I do anything else. It seems like that's my full-time job now. So, Pastor, I got a lot of stuff on my plate. Are you telling me that I need to even feast on the Word of God during that time of the week? I'm not telling you that, my friend. You already know the answer. Because the Holy Spirit's telling you, yes, you need to feed, you need to eat on the Word of God every day. Every day. You need to meditate on it day and night. Oh, taste and see the Lord is good. I love this psalm. For His mercy endureth forever. How are you going to truly know that His mercy endures forever if you're not tasting the Word before you? This is not the righteousness that one feels of just achieving their works of goodness or even just by placing a placard of religion before them. No, this is that sort of good righteousness, wholesome righteousness, justifying righteousness that God would have you attain. After all, Matthew 23, as we look at the eight woes, I mean, you don't have to turn there, but if you want to reference this as a cross-reference in the study of the Beatitudes, it's Matthew 23, verses 13 through 33, okay? But as we look at the cross-referencing here between the numbers of where we are, paralleling between the Beatitudes versus the eight woes, we find this one before us. Jesus says, "Woe unto you," in verse 16, "ye blind guides," which say... He's talking to those who are playing religious righteousness, okay? "Whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing. But whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor. Ye fools and blind. For whether is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifieth the gold? And whatsoever shall swear by the altar, it is nothing. But whosoever sweareth by the gift that is upon it, he is guilty. Ye fools and blind guides. For whether is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifieth the gift? Whoso therefore shall swear by the altar sweareth by it and by all things thereon." And it goes on. Are we slaves to religion? Or are we servants of the Lord? Jesus tells us through the Word that we are to lay our burdens before Him. And He'll take that yoke upon Him. He wants to make your burdens light. How hungry are you today? What is your appetite? How hungry are you? Now, the last question I have for you today is this. When is it time to start or stop? When is it time to start or stop? I have to do that parallel on stopping and starting because, well, when it comes to the world, there never should be a starting time, right? But when it comes to the Word of God, there's absolutely a starting time. When it comes to the world, there ought to be a stopping time if you're already in the midst of it. And when it comes to the Word of God, there's never a stopping time. for you'll carry this word with you even on into glory. Now is the time to stop feasting on the things of this world. This is a great time to lay aside that sin which doth so easily beset us. It is time for us to raise up the call of Joshua. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. This is time to put off the world. It is time to let carnality die. It is time to put on Jesus. Just as Elisha picked up the mantle of Elijah, we likewise must pick up the mantle that God has given for us. And we must carry it to this world. After all, you were bought with, oh, so great, oh, so perfect of a price. It's time, my friend, to live it. It's time for us to share it. It's time for us to tell it. It's time to grow in it as well. In what? Righteousness. When you eat at a good restaurant, do you just say, let me keep this restaurant a secret for myself? Oh no, I've heard some of you talking in this church regarding restaurants and stuff like when you're eating. I've heard some of you as I'm walking by a conversation, I hear some of you talking about a good place to eat. And yeah, I've even heard some of you talk about the bad places too. But when it comes to the good places, we ought to share and to tell others about how good it is to taste and see that the Lord is good. It is a good thing. It is an honorable thing. It is a righteous thing for us to tell this world about Jesus. Now is that time for us to desire the sincere milk of the Word that we may grow thereby. There is an appointed hour for which we will stand before the throne of God and give an account as to our service for Him. But there's also an appointed hour for us to consume, to feast upon the Word of God, and that is now. This is, after all, a time to grow. But it's a time to grow in godly righteousness. Yeah, that dessert buffet that Satan has over there, stay away from it. You don't need that little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. You don't need it. Stay away from that one. Oh, that chocolate fondue fountain of carnality, it just looks so... I just want to stick my finger in it and lick the chocolate off. Better not. Oh, but... they've got angel food cake. Ah, but that's delivered by a fallen angel. Do you think that's going to be any good for you? Trust me, you won't find any devil's cake on that table because he's leaving that label right off of that one. And you really think that things are upside down right now in your life? Just take a bite of that pineapple upside down. You'll see how quickly your world will be turned upside down. Ah, Rice Krispies! Yeah, you eat them. Trust me, everybody's going to know what you're eating after a while because all you're going to do is snap, crackle, and pop the sins of this world. But over here, look. Look what you have. You've got manna. I know, we're still asking, what is it? We don't really know what manna is. Manna defined in Hebrew is, what is it? So we're still trying to figure out what that is. But it's like a honey wafer. It's so good to taste of it. I'm kind of hoping that there's some of that, you know, at the supper. You know, that marriage supper of the Lamb that Jesus is, you know, going to have with us. I'm hoping that there's some of that manna there. We can taste it. We can look over at Moses and say, I don't know why people were complaining about this stuff. I could eat this for another 40 years. Oh, man. What is that manna that we need to eat today? It's right here. Well, what is it that I can drink? I mean, I'm thirsty, Pastor. I need something to drink. Oh, I'm so glad you asked. Jesus says, blessed are they that do hunger and thirst. Jesus told the Samaritan woman at the well, about water that if she were to drink of that water, she would be filled. She would never thirst again. Jesus would not have us to be ignorant concerning this beatitude. Because in the Old Testament, as well as in the New, we find example of those who feasted on the devil's buffet versus those who feasted on what the Lord had to offer. He would desire that all of His children be filled, not only for now, but even until He calls us home. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Are you full today? Can you leave here today and say, I definitely tasted of what the Lord had for me today? My friend, if you are feasting at that table that you know you ought not to eat, you need to repent. And repentance isn't saying, God, I'm so sorry. Because you do that, guess what you're going to do? You're going to go back to it again. And again. And again. Repentance is a giving over of oneself. A complete surrender. A turning around from one direction and looking at a totally different direction. The devil would have you get off that path which the Lord has for you. He will try to entice you. He will do everything he can to allure you, even if it's a chocolate fondue fountain. He'll do anything he can to mess your life up because he does not want you to taste of the table which God has for his children. Those who aren't saved, they're just over here just eating like pigs, you know, wallowing in the mire. You know, they're just over here they're unclean at this time. They don't know better. That's where they are. And God wants us to tell them, there is a better table for you to eat at. There's a better way of life. Hey, if you're here today and you're one of those lost ones, I pray that today you've come to an understanding that you need Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Come during this invitation, let's talk about it. If you need me to pray with you as well about something that you've got harbored in your life so long and it's that sin that doth so easily beset us, you don't even have to tell me what it is. You know what it is. God knows what it is. Your spouse might not even know what it is. But you need to talk to God about it today. Hey, during this invitation, I pray that you'll respond as we stand. Brother BJ.